thing is in there.
We're on.
We're back. This is an audio-only episode, folks. We got a little blindsided. Our producer, he left us.
Yep.
He left
us. I want to make a grim announcement. Our producer, Gerardo, passed away.
He died. Mm-hmm. He died of TikTok fame. He got a little too big on the talk.
Mm-hmm. I love Gerardo and I miss him. And it's sad that he's dead.
It is. It's sad that he died, but you have to keep moving.
No, we're going to.
We haven't really memorialized him too much.
Great El Pastor at the funeral, though.
It was. The taco truck was amazing.
Oh, my God.
The horchata was great.
I know.
And on the day of the dead, we're going to dance.
It was a tremendous. It was a great funeral. He would be proud of the funeral.
Yeah.
No, he got really busy or something.
He got real busy. He said he has a lot of podcasts. They're paying. We were paying him here and there.
That's the thing. We have to remember that Gerardo was not getting paid.
He wasn't getting paid. He was doing this because he wanted to. He said he really, we asked. I mean, you know, I never want, it's always weird when anyone's doing anything for essentially free.
It's a hard
position.
So
I was like very, you know, weird. I was like confused when he first started doing it. But he like really wanted to be a part of it and did it. But he just got he got some stuff going, you know, and good for him. But so we have to figure out our video on our own unless we keep paying for
we
that
have it
studio.
Planned out. Gerardo, being a very gracious person, sent us the list of the shit that we need to buy. We have the list. We're gonna do it. I would say so. We've got a studio that we
rent this, you know, you like with the Joshua Super Baby episode, the one where I attack the people of Washington, D.C. That was all in this studio, which is great. It's nice, but it's like you have to pay and it's, you know, but that producer there is good, Paul. But yeah, so we'll figure it out.
By the end of August, we'll have all
I
the
mean,
equipment.
Realistically, I could have set up my iPhone, I think, and filmed us, but it would have been like a one shot or something. And like
that looks worse than no
kind of
looks
shitty. I also we do need to get video just because, but like the fact, you know, being banned on TikTok doesn't really help my motivation,
know,
like
true.
With clips anymore. I'm like,
that's
well, then
true.
I can't even post a clip really. So it's like doesn't. And I love audio. Like Tim says this too, and it's like when I used to listen to like O&A and like I didn't like when I saw a video of them. It like kind of ruined the aura to me.
I had the opposite thing for myself because I used to listen to Stern, and then they did Howard TV, and I'm like, well, that's just 10 times better.
Howard TV was better. Yes, that was different to me because it's like Howard has such huge guests on, and like the guest is like the show some of the time.
Yeah, but it's person to person. There's a romanticism to an audio only broadcast. It's an old school romanticized thing. It's like the guys, it's like Scorsese going like, we can't get rid of film.
Right.
You know.
Tarantino, yeah.
Sure. But you know, we're gonna get
Tarantino's trying to make it so you have to film all your Snapchats in film,
16mm.
Yeah,
Snapchats.
He's like, these Snapchats. These are not classic.
But no, by the end of August, full setup is back. So you freak shows that want video, it's coming back.
It'll come back.
And we got a lot of crazy stuff planned. By the way, I've still been in talks with the Super Baby's dad. We've got all kinds of stuff planned.
Really, what else is? We at some point we have to break it to him that this. It's illegal to fight.
So I texted him. I just actually saw this right now.
He really believes this is going to happen.
So just to recap, just in case anybody, you know, starts, they skip that episode, they're starting here.
You can't fight a baby.
You can't fight a baby.
I don't know what he doesn't get.
No, but so what happened was,
we're fucking around here.
My friend sent me a video of this baby that did amazing stunts where he was breaking boards and doing insane, you know, karate kicks and stuff. And I started clicking around going like, I instantly knew there's a Honey Boy situation happening here.
I listened to the episode today for the first time, and at the end of the episode, he's calling Joshua like
a money machine.
A money machine.
So
yeah.
In the episode, and I guess let me finish setting it up, and then we can get into that. So I found this, my friend links me to this. I look in, I go, what's going on? Behind this baby, there has to be a, you know, the dad, like a Tiger Woods' dad or a Serena Williams' dad kind of character behind this. And I found the guy. And on his page, he goes, give me a call. I'll be in Los Angeles. I train people. Give me a call. So as a goof, I'm like, oh, this might be a funny prank phone call that we could use. I called the number and the dude answered. And so I started recording. And to make the prank phone call funny, I said, how about your baby fights Hasbulla, the Dagestani dwarf? And what I expected was hangs up. Slam. I hear a phone slam.
No, he was into
slam.
It. We played the video.
Yeah, no, I'm giving this to people that haven't heard the past stuff. So okay. so that happens. I ends up he moves to Los Angeles, and last episode we somehow we got him and the baby to come into the studio with a Polish actor who was pretending to be Dagestani.
Yeah.
And it was this insane episode. It's on video on Devin's YouTube
channel. It's one of the funniest things I've ever really seen. Not even just because I was a part of it and it's our show, but it was like just a stunning time.
I can't believe how fun.
It was so fun. And that guy was so funny, that fucking Bogdan.
Yeah. Bogdan. Yeah, so Bogdan is the Polish. He's Polish.
He's a Polish guy.
He's not even Russian. He's Polish.
Yeah, it was funny. It's like he's not even... Hasbulla's people. Like he has
he didn't know who Hasbulla was.
He doesn't know what Hasbulla, he doesn't know anything about
it. I had to tell him who Hasbulla was. But anyways, he shows up, he's clearly Polish, like it's very odd. If you have like a good ear for Eastern European accents, like the guy's Polish, obviously.
He said he had a driver. He was like,
that was the funniest
thing. Joey was like, I'll pay you for your travel or whatever. And he's like, okay, you'd pay my driver. And then I saw him. He drove past the studio to some beat to shit.
That was my favorite thing. I posted on Craigslist and I said, I need a Russian actor to do a job. And I kind of described what the job was going to be. I go, it's not acting. You need to kind of represent our fight promotion company. So I made it sound like I was Hasbulla's team and we needed a guy to represent us because we couldn't make it to America. So this guy responds, and he has the best face I've ever seen in my life for a Russian.
He looks like he's been in a million things.
He looks like Mr. French from The Departed.
Yes. Yeah,
but he's a weird, grizzled Russian man with a perfect face, like a perfect movie face where you cast him just for his face and you put him in the background. So he's in the background of a bunch of Coen movies. Tim and Eric use him all the time. He's a massive background. Like they put his face in the background as a gangster and a bunch of stuff. But anyways, he responds and I go, how much money do you need to do this? And I expect him to be like, $3,000 because of how his credits. And he gets back to me and he's like, I don't know, $200.
$200.
Yeah. And I go,
$200 and soup.
Yeah, exactly. Cabbage soup. Devin kept grilling him with cabbage soup stuff.
I kept making the same joke.
No, that's the funniest joke ever because, inside of the bit, we're now attacking what seems to be a Dagestani man, but it's very, very funny. That's spoilers. Listen to it if you haven't.
Joshua
it's very
Superbaby
funny.
In studio. It's a great
But anyways,
episode.
I go, $200 and I go, I'll pay for your Uber. And then so he goes, deal. And then so time's coming up and he goes, but times are tough. My driver is out of work. COVID-19 is very bad for a lot of people. He goes, you give the money, the Uber money to my driver.
To my driver.
And I go, I'm like, yeah, that's fair. I'll just, it's either going to be $40 Uber or 50, 60, whatever. I give you this. Fine. Same thing for me. And then I'm outside. I'm in the studio setting stuff up, and Devin goes, oh, by the way, Bogdan's here. I'm like, oh, he's outside? Devin goes, no, I just saw him drive by. He's in like a 1994 Ford Focus.
He's trying to pocket the cash.
Of course, yeah. So totally. It was a classic Russian scam, but I didn't care. I'm like, whatever, he showed up. If he wants to, it's fine.
He showed up. He let us shit all over him.
It's part of the score, so I paid him.
He let us, tell him, fuck you, and kick him out of the studio.
Well, I coached him before time. I said, here's what's going to happen. You come in as a villain. We're going to be talking massive shit to you, and I want you to be talking crazy shit back to us. I want you to be, I go, don't try to be funny. I want you to be threatening and crazy.
Yeah.
And then he took it too far.
Yeah, it was a weird. I thought it was weird when he shook the baby. That was a bit odd. That's maybe dangerous. No, but what was amazing about that episode?
He kept threatening to kill the baby and saying pedophile.
He was
stuff.
He kept. It was really funny. Like
he was like you fuck their babies.
No, I thought that was a great thing. That like he it was so earnest. He was like, how do I talk shit to Americans? He goes, you're pedophiles.
It was brilliant.
And I was like, that's pretty brilliant. We are.
Especially in L.A. Yeah,
that's pretty good. He kept calling us pedophiles.
In the acting community, because he's an actor, the whole big reputation is that, all these Hollywood guys are pedophiles.
Weinstein, the Dan Schneider, you'll fuck the kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, he
Brian
was,
Singer.
Singer, yeah. James Gunn had some tweets.
Are you guys associated with Dan Entertainment?
What is that?
Den Entertainment was like the known
pedophile production company.
Pedophile ring that hired all the like Nickelodeon actors. Okay. And,
but yeah, no, he was funny, and what was amazing was that Joshua's dad, Caesar, when I still can't get a gauge on whether he knows what's up or not. But
no,
like,
so I can clear the air
Bogdan
for you.
When Bogdan leaves, Caesar on our episode goes like, "Did you hear that?" He goes, "That man, the manager," he tells his wife, he goes, "The manager, he think Joshua not real baby."
So I think
he goes, "Joshua had such a good gig, he thinks Joshua adult."
Yeah, so I actually think that you're hinting at one of the reasons that this isn't like blowing up more. People aren't realizing that the dad is 0% in on the joke.
He has nothing to do with it.
He has no, and I don't think, like, I asked a few people, I'm like, "Do you realize the dad's, like, my friends who listen, I'm like, "Do you know the dad wasn't in on it?"
No, I
my friends were all like, I know, but I could see why others, I think, like, the, like,
they think the dad's in on it?
No, my friends know, but I think there are people out there who aren't queuing
into it. I think they think it's all
it.
Stage, but it's not.
It is half stage. The actor
it's half
is stage.
The actor, but the dad, Caesar, does not
so
did not know that that
I'll
guy was an actor,
proof.
And he
this
really
is,
thought that Hasbulla's rep came and like tried to sue that, us and then called his baby a fake baby.
That's kind of surprising to me because there were times where I really did think Caesar, like, oh, he gets it. He's
I totally
laughing
did.
And
he has
he
a good
seemed,
sense of humor.
Yeah. He's got a good sense of humor.
He'll laugh at jokes,
yeah,
but at the end of the day,
he really is
he
trying
would
to
have Joshua
no, he's really trying to fight
his
baby.
He would have the super baby
he wants
fight
this baby
well
to fight.
Yeah, so here's
he
like,
answered my question about Joshua cutting weight. I was like, can you maybe not feed Joshua for a couple weeks? He goes, oh, Joshua doesn't need to eat.
Joshua does not eat that much.
He does not eat that much.
Anyways.
He would happily cut weight.
Yeah.
This is like crazy.
So here's, I'll give you the, this is actually kind of proves that he's not in on it. This is the text that I got immediately following the podcast. Okay. Give me 1 second.
This is the Honey Boy text, right? Where he's like, you could tell it's like he's just real.
Every text
he goes,
is
everywhere
a Honey Boy
soon
text
will be Joshua's.
Every text is
everywhere
a Honey Boy
soon
text
will be Joshua Super Baby with the money, like money signs.
Well, on the podcast, at one point, I'm in character as a weird fight promoter, and I go, let's face the facts here. Hasbulla is a little dwarf. Like, those dwarfs only live to be 25 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm going, Joshua's a little baby. That guy, we're going to be making money off him for 100 years. And the dad, instead of being creeped out, goes, yes, little Joshua is a money machine.
Yeah.
But so here's the text that I got.
Disclaimer, though, just all of us, all our feelings. The dad is a really good guy, and I think he knows this fight can't happen, so that's why.
No,
he's
that's not true. I refuse to give that disclaimer. He would let the fight happen, and I love him.
He's a great person, though.
Well,
I
he's
just,
a
like,
sweet
loved him.
No,
I thought
okay
he was such a sweet guy.
Yeah,
like,
so he's a great.
The whole family was so incredible.
No, it's an amazing family, and it sounds like a contradiction to say that he wants to fight his baby and that he's also a good guy. But it's actually weirdly
no
true.
It's a little weird. I was telling Tim all this. I did Tim's Patreon, and Tim was considering calling child services. I mean, it's a bit
everyone that I tell
much
about this,
it's a bit much.
All of my like all the outsiders that I tell about this, like I talked to my sister about this. I have two sisters. The younger sister is in on this. She loves it, and she's like a huge Super Baby fan. My older sister is a lawyer. I told her about this, and she's like, "You might want to look into kind of a child protection stuff, laws like that
for the dad."
Yeah, exactly. She's saying he's going to go to jail.
But here's another thing. I would have killed for my dad to be in my life as much as Caesar is.
So that's
Joshua's
the thing. And I guess
actually I wouldn't. I'm happy my dad kept his boundaries. I didn't really need. I didn't like. You know, I didn't need that much. But I'm saying, like, you know, in a world where children grow up with you know, fathers that just don't give a shit, that guy every day is
sometimes
with, is training,
a honey boy
with,
wants a nice dad.
Yeah,
right.
And so, but but so I will tell you, Brazilian culture is different. You can't. It's not an apples to apples comparison. A parent like this in America, like Shia LaBeouf's dad or whatever.
Yeah.
That's an evil, you know, calculated manipulation, trying to milk your child for money in this world that you know is evil. If you're from Brazil and you're not familiar with the culture of Hollywood and show business and stuff like that, this is a genuine effort to make his baby a big success.
Right.
Caesar,
in his mind, he thinks this is the best way to set Joshua up for massive success.
Caesar could more likely be like a Floyd Mayweather senior.
Okay.
You know, Floyd Mayweather senior, professional boxer, yeah. But not, obviously, no, he's not Floyd Mayweather. He's not the Floyd Mayweather we all know.
But he had a title.
I mean, let's be honest. This baby
is. That's what I'm saying. But sure. Grew up in a fighting family.
Yeah.
I always like have this image of Floyd Mayweather dodging punches at the dinner table.
Absolutely.
Like constantly training. You know what I mean? Which, yeah. Honey boy situation.
Yeah.
It's a little bit, you know, aside, you know, putting the cultural differences aside and it, you know, acknowledging the fact that Brazilian culture is much different from American culture, there is still an element of, I'm a little concerned.
No, I mean, when we ended it and I realized that Caesar really wants, he really does think this fight's happening, I was a little bit like, oh boy.
I gotta say, the wife put me at ease, though, a little bit.
The wife's great.
She's a sweetheart.
She's just afraid that that black people will get annoyed.
No, it's funny.
She's just terrified of black people.
My girlfriend's friend is Paraguayan, and we were telling her about everything that's happening with Joshua. And she was like, oh, they're Brazilian? She's like, be careful. They could say anything on that podcast. They're racist as shit.
Sure.
Like, Brazilians are known racists throughout the world. Yeah. I mean, that's not...
The Galvo family was not...
They didn't show...
They were a really good family.
The mom is just... The mom just thinks, like, what did we want? We wanted, like, him... We wanted the dad to, like, say some stuff about Floyd Mayweather, right? Or whatever? No.
They hid their racism really well.
No, they're not racist. And also, no, it's like... Racist.
But Brazilians in general do have a reputation.
Oh yeah,
for being
sure.
Racist.
No, Brazilians in general might be, but not these guys. And then, you know, in Brazil, MMA is sort of the highest thing you can aspire to. So it's more like they're trying to get their baby into Harvard. That's
right.
Becoming a master of the martial arts. That's the Brazilian version of going into Ivy League.
This is their version
of becoming a doctor.
This is their version of what Lori Loughlin did.
Yes, except for being honest about it and making the baby work for it and learn it and actually become the champion.
I mean, babies don't work hard enough, so I'm glad they're making this baby work.
Babies are lazy.
You know, babies are fucking usually very lazy, and Joshua wakes up every day.
Let me just say this, and then I'll go to the text that I've been talking about for 30 minutes.
Caesar dresses up like Spider-Man, and Joshua kicks the shit out of him every morning.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing unhealthy about that. So... I will say that, what were you guys just saying right before this?
We were a little afraid they were maybe going to say some wild shit.
Oh, yeah, no, okay, so I forgot, I had a point, but I forgot it. So here's the text that I got immediately after the podcast. So we do the podcast, I get a text, and he goes...
He's like, I just curb stomped Bogdan.
He goes, do you know where I can bury a head and two hands? So he goes, that was great. And thank you. Let's make it happen. And if can, please send to me some videos. So he goes, let's make it happen.
He's talking about
the fight against Hezbollah.
The fight, yeah.
That's not on camera.
Right.
That's not a goof. He's not goofing. He wants to do this in private.
The fight to happen.
So that goes on, and he sends me the video of Joshua doing the jiu-jitsu where he does the armbar, which is amazing.
Oh, the armbar is pretty great. I didn't know Joshua had this power.
He sent that to me in private before it was ever released, so I'm like an insider.
He's learning new skills. I mean, Joshua was practicing a punch in the studio. He's working on that.
Joshua's beating the shit out of his
dad. By the way,
okay,
let's also just clarify this. Joshua is going to be the best fighter in the world at some point.
I actually agree.
I'm not kidding.
When I said the Tiger Woods thing, I was like, no, I'm serious. I haven't seen any baby.
It's the most remarkable talent I've ever seen on the internet.
And he loves it. He's like trained. It's like a fucking dog. Like we brought this baby in and he just knows exactly what to do. He just goes, okay, yeah, beat the shit out of dad, kick the bottles, kick things out of people's mouths.
I rewatched it because I was just like, because I got a little drunk on it. I'm like, let me just fucking watch. Was this as good as I remembered it being? And first of all, yes, it was. It was actually better
than
that.
It's a great episode.
But so I looked back on it, and I was at some point at the very end, we're about to wind it down, and Joshua's up on the table. He just did the big finishing stunts where he kicked the pen out of Richie's mouth, and then he kicked the pen out of your mouth, and then he's still on the table, And I'm trying to wind it down, and I'm going like, all right, guys, thank you guys for coming. And Caesar, you're a legend, Natalia, blah, blah, blah. And as I'm saying this, Joshua comes over and he tries to grab like the booze in my Chipotle cup.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you can't have that. And then he grabs a water bottle. I'm like, okay, yeah, you can have that. And I thought he just was a baby that was trying, like, he was a curious baby. They just wanted to pick up a thing and look at it.
He wanted to kick the bottle.
No, he picked it up. And what he was actually doing was he was picking it up and giving it to me so that I could hold it so we could kick it.
Yep.
And I was so drunk, I'm trying to wind the thing down. He puts it in my hand, and I'm going like, all right, thanks, guys, everybody. And I'm just holding it, and then all of a sudden he just kicks it.
Now he's a little,
and
he's,
I didn't even realize
it's amazing.
It until I watched back what he was doing.
What he's doing. He's a little Pavlov martial artist.
No, exactly. No, exactly. And you don't see a baby's mind work like that ever.
No, it's a
lot. You don't see babies' minds work ever.
No, they're all idiots.
They're dumb.
They're all worthless.
Joshua's got like focus. He has
focus. He bows.
He wakes up with a purpose.
He bows.
I've never seen a baby.
He wakes up and starts
wake
training.
Up with a purpose. No, it's unbelievable.
It's amazing.
Watching Joshua kick reminds me a lot of that video when Tiger Woods was about maybe 2 years old making that putt.
Yes. Right. No, yeah, the Tiger Woods doc. Yeah, yeah. I didn't realize Tiger Woods was like actually that great as like a baby.
Mm-hmm. Here's
and
a text
so
that
Joshua,
I sent.
I'm like, holy shit.
Here's
kinda
a text.
Similar.
Mm-hmm. I sent this text to Caesar today, like at like 3 p.m., like hoping that he would respond for this. So I said, how is Joshua's jiu-jitsu coming along? Someone from the athletic commission is asking if he can defend himself on the ground if he gets taken down. I go, they're scared of the Dagestani wrestling, which is a bunch of BS because Hezbollah isn't even good. Unfortunately, they're scared of Dagestan because of Habib, I think. And he responds, Joshua is training more on the ground right now. I'm trying to wrestling if him every day. So he had typos because he can barely speak English. But so he's basically responding and going like, no problem. We're getting him better on the ground. I'm training with him right now as we speak. So I think he read that text and was basically like, oh, Josh, well, we have to start getting on the ground.
No, literally, he sees these texts from you and he starts making Joshua train.
I think so, man.
He sees these texts.
But I also don't want to kind of fully get out of the bit either because I'm also, in a sick way, willing to make this fight happen.
What
too.
If we can get it? What if we just need a few years? Like, what if Josh?
No, not a few years.
Is there
I think
that's like okay. What's the okay? Wait,
you want to know a funny thing that the mom said to me?
At some point, listen. When Josh was 18, we should just let him kick the shit out of Hezbollah.
Oh well.
he's a six foot four guy.
He
looks like a Vitor Belfort.
He's just punting Hezbollah around a ring.
They go, you asked for it, Hezbollah. He's like, I don't know who you guys are.
Hezbollah doesn't give a fuck, dude. Hezbollah won't even respond to Rogan and Tim when they were on the show. Like,
yeah, he thinks he's hot shit. Hezbollah, that's why I don't like him.
Yeah. Well, first of all, they don't speak English, and I think although they're killing it online, they don't have any English-speaking manager. They're like, Dagestanis are very tight-knit, so they're, I think it's basically considered like against their religion to bring in like a white English speaker into their circle.
Right.
But Habib, if you ask him, he's not going to say, because they don't have interpreters. What they say, there's like a famous clip of Zabit doing an interview when he was like, this is the next greatest guy. And he can't speak English, and he's like struggling. And then Habib walks over and goes like, "Brother, you must learn to speak. You will never promote yourself if you cannot speak." But they won't bring in interpreters. Like they're very proud of where they're from.
Yeah, I get it. You know, it's a great place. I'm sure it's got great plumbing and incredible streets and great soup. And, you know, I'm sure they eat with their
No,
hands.
I'm actually an amazing. It now sounds like I'm saying this to try not to cancel myself.
Yeah.
But it's actually cancel. I don't give a fuck. Cancel me. They happen to be my favorite culture in the world. And it actually kind of hurt me to talk shit about Dagestan in any way.
Yeah, no, I know. Just for the goof.
Because all I was seeing, because in my mind, I'm like, well, this is going viral. This is going to have a million views. I don't know if Habib's going to see this or who's going to see this. That was my delusional. I'm so clueless about show business. I'm like, well, fuck, now Habib's going to hate me.
Yeah.
Of course, no one watched it, but that was what I was thinking. But, you know, I'm down to be the heel, though. I thought about it a little bit
more.
It's great. I was hungover thinking that. You know that next day when you're hungover, you're like, what did
The hungover anxiety.
You're going like, what did I just
do? You wake
up
like, what did I do last night?
I woke up
the next day too. I was like, did we fight a baby? Are we in trouble?
No, that I
forgot what happened.
I honestly thought.
I was like, did Joshua hurt himself?
I didn't think
he
that.
Fall.
Josh was invincible, so I didn't think that. But I did think, I bet we broke some crime.
Nah, we probably did.
We broke the law.
There's some law.
We broke some law.
I don't think you're allowed to have a baby on and just like have him kick.
Entertainment laws probably are against that, and then there's probably action.
But also, you know, in Hollywood, when they need a baby to cry, they can fucking pinch it. They torture babies to make them cry.
I don't want to incriminate us or anything.
We only tortured the baby for
a
little
dad
bit.
Was there, and his consent was on video, so I think we're actually covered.
The dad's
covered.
Consent.
There is implied consent with the dad entering the room with the baby, so we're actually covered. We're covered.
Fine.
We can do whatever
we
want. Covered.
We didn't do anything wrong. I mean, I had a couple,
1A.
I gave the baby a couple drinks, but it wasn't that big of a deal. Look at that kick. I mean, that's a man's kick.
That deserves a drink.
If you could kick like that, you deserve a drink.
Take a day off. Have a drink. So.
We introduced him to a dangerous Polish homeless man.
Yeah.
You know, so no big deal.
No, it was fine. We took the baby to Spearmint Rhino later that night. But other than that, I don't think we broke any laws.
By the way, dude, Bogdan, let me try to call Bogdan right now. He's not going to answer. So keep talking. It'll probably be a
call
nothing.
Bogdan.
Keep talking. It's going
to
be
what do you think? I wonder what Bogdan would have to say about this. He probably forgot already. He's just hammered.
He goes, who is this?
He's like,
you gave me what?
He's just pounding Stoli right
like,
now.
No, I paid your driver. He's like, oh, you fell for the driver scam.
That's right.
You're the only idiot that fell for driver scam.
I know, he said that hacky like Russian line where he's like, we drink vodka for breakfast.
Yeah.
He was very good, though, besides
he was fantastic.
That.
He was really
good. I mean,
good.
He was weird a lot of the time, but for $200 or $260 or whatever it was.
No, we got a deal.
We got a deal.
It was amazing.
It was a steal.
It was like Eastern Promises.
Yeah. No, he was.
That guy was tremendous. It was like getting fucking Viggo Mortensen on the
He could have been unable to speak and just his face would have been worth it.
His face is amazing. His face tells a story in and of itself, that guy.
Didn't answer.
Bogdan doesn't pick. What is his phone? It's like a can.
He's probably got a burner. It's a can tied to a string. Whatever. No, he was a weird, interesting guy, though. And it was so funny because he called me and he goes, but he's like, I'm about to drive over. Or, you know, my driver's coming. What should I wear for my clothes? And I'm like, well, I don't know. You're from that Eastern Europe. What do Dagestanis wear? And he's like, maybe I will wear like a jean jacket. And I'm like, I've never seen
a
Dagestani.
He's like, I dress like James Dean.
Yeah, exactly.
He goes, I will show up authentic Dagestani.
He was trying to
dress like James Dean.
I don't think he realized what this was. He's like, this might be Big Show. I must look very handsome in my best jean jacket.
He thought it was like late night.
Yeah, and I've never seen a Dagestani in a jean jacket. I don't think that worked. I'm like, do you have anything else? I think Dagestanis like don't dress like that. I'm like, go look up these guys and see how they dress and maybe do something like that. And then he's like, yes, I'll do that. And then he shows up wearing a tank top with like a big, like a bird on the front of it. Like it was like, he bought it at like a West Hollywood biker shop.
Yeah.
So didn't look Dagestani whatsoever. Dagestanis are humble, modest people. Like it didn't, but anyways, he shows up wearing that. And I'm like, okay, cool. It works. And by the way, what did you say about his feet, Richie?
Oh, yeah, he was like, do I have to put shoes on? He had, like, these disgusting feet.
Oh,
and
he came...
I go, maybe, yeah, put the shoes on.
Yeah, no, he came in those sandals.
Because he asked it, oh, is the camera going to show my feet? I was like, no. He's like, so do I have to put shoes on? I look down, they're crusty, he's got ingrown toenails.
They were horrific.
Richie, just for his own good, goes, please, yeah, go ahead and just put the shoes on.
Put some shoes on, please. You know,
he did
come in with, like, third world sandals on. You know,
he was a disgusting human being. I mean, let's be honest.
Of course,
he was a little gross.
Yeah,
Bogdan.
I love Bogdan, but he was disgusting.
He's a gross
in
person
in so many ways.
He's a gross person,
and we had him around an infant.
Yeah,
that's also one of my favorite lines. Is when, so like at one point he's coming in, it's very contentious, and we basically say, okay, listen, he's saying that he's going to kill the baby. He's saying that Hasbro's going to kill the super baby.
We don't want fucking dead babies.
He's saying that in front of the baby's dad. And
Caesar contained himself.
I coached him too. He's going to be a promoter. He's going to be saying crazy stuff. It's all fight promotion. But he totally believed that it was a fight promoter representing Hasbro. So there was an element of coaching happening. But the way that I set it up was that is a real fight promoter for this kid. But so he comes in. What were you saying? What was the point that I was about to make? I was about to make a point.
About?
I'm not sure.
You were coaching.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So there was an element of coaching. So there was an element of coaching to this thing. So it wasn't 100% like genuine, I suppose.
Like improv.
Right.
No, but so... Well, it was improv.
It was very improv.
Well, no, it was genuine reactions. But so, just to be completely transparent, I talked to the Rush, and I said, the dad thinks you're the real Hasbro's rep. And it got to the point where I said, hey, they're about to be here. I need you to go wait outside in the alley. Like, go walk around the block, because I don't want you guys even being in the same room together, because that's going to ruin it. I go, because he needs to think you're the real rep for Hasbro. And he was like, okay, you got it, brother. You got it. Like, you know him as a villain.
Right.
Because that's all you saw. But backstage, he was very cool.
Yeah.
And just open to everything. He was just, like, asking for notes. He's like, how do you want me to do this?
He was like he cared. Like, he was a professional.
If people watch that, you would never guess that backstage he was like a thespian.
No, like thinking about it.
Yeah,
yeah, right. Like, he was going like,
no, he was
going
like the character. How do I do that? How do I get in the? I'm going like, okay, well, just act it the way that you would do it. Doing this weird whole thing, and then so he literally just, I go, oh shit, they're gonna be here any second. You gotta bail, and he darted out of there. And then they came.
Did the mom have to sit with him in the other room?
I think so.
Oh, man.
I think she hopefully hadn't seen the promo and didn't know who he was.
Yeah, she had no clue.
But that also doesn't matter, because she wasn't on a show.
His mom's just sitting around a guy that wants to kill her baby.
Well, no. I'm talking before.
Okay, right.
Before. I think after. No, not after. Because once that ended, I go, once we kick you out, grab your shit and bail.
He did. Get out of here. He just left.
Yeah. I told him to do that. But so, no, he was playing ball. He was the shit, but fuck, that was a weird,
wild
show.
Episode.
That
was fun. Very fun time. I'll always remember it, and I'm happy we have the video of it just for ourselves, honestly.
Yeah. I'll watch that once a year for the rest of my life.
It was very, I think McGregor would be proud.
He would.
Oh, my goodness. I forgot. You haven't told this yet?
No, I haven't said anything about this.
I wish we had video for this.
You see my
this.
Instagram. I'm obviously now, best friends with Conor McGregor.
I wish this was on video.
Ran into him outside of the Beverly Hills Hotel with Tim and Ida. And he just sitting there with his foot in his cast in a chair. And
you're not... Devin... You're downplaying this too much.
It was crazy.
Devin got invited to the Beverly Hills Hotel with Tim Dillon, who's a big, massive success right now.
Yes.
People may not know. He's a massive success. He goes, Devin, come to the Beverly Hills Hotel. I'm sure.
I think people know.
No, people know that he's a big podcaster, but he is killing it on a level that I don't think a lot of people realize.
Yeah, true.
So he goes, Devin, come with your girlfriend. I'm back in LA. Come meet me at this hotel. Devin gets there. They go out.
After dinner, and it's like 10 or 11 p.m., and the front of the Beverly Hills Hotel, we're walking up to the front, and Ida, turns, and she's, saying, oh, hey, what are you doing here? To some guy, and I turn my head, I'm like, oh, that's Conor McGregor. That's crazy. And he has his foot on a chair, and I kind of forgot about the injury. So as we're walking up to him, I thought he was, with his baby. I just didn't know why he was sitting there.
He's by himself.
Yeah, he's just alone. And I was like...
It's an empty area. There's no one around.
Literally, up until we walked right up to him, I thought it had to be holding his, baby. And he was just rocking his baby.
You're like, oh, he's sitting with his baby. They're waiting for
the car. They're just waiting for a car.
Coming.
He wasn't doing any of that. He's just out front because I think he loves attention. And he wants people that are coming back to the hotel to be like, holy shit, Conor McGregor. And so he calls us over. We all walk over to him, and he's very nice. He's like, hey, what are you guys doing here? Like, yeah, everyone acted like we like all hung out. It was weird. Everyone was talking on that level where it's like we all have just known each other. Like, Ida knows nothing about who he is. So
that's
just
famous
like,
guy technique where you just go like, oh, how
no, you just
been?
Act like you don't even, you go, how was, oh my God.
He's met a trillion people. He doesn't know.
You go, did you like lunch? Was lunch good?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
How's everything going? You know, Ida's like saying like, what are you, like, what's wrong with your foot? Like, she has no clue about the fight that happened. He broke his foot. And
he didn't break his foot. He shattered
his
femur.
Shattered.
Not femur. What's the, wait, is that a femur?
No, he shattered his
tibia.
Tibia.
And the fibia, I think. Both.
The fibia and the tibia shattered.
It was a clean break, like the leg broke in half. One of those
crazy
breaks.
Yes, it was horrific. It was horrific to watch. But Ida doesn't know. Ida just knows his face from, you know, TV or whatever. She doesn't really know what's going on. And he's, you know, he was looking at Ida like she was a bottle of proper 12 the entire night. Just eyeing her up and just
lecherous.
Looking up and down and being, I kept asking, like, what we do. And Tim says, like, oh, I'm on, you know, I'm on Joe Rogan's show a lot. He goes, oh, how are you? That's great. I love Joe.
That's
great.
The only thing he
that's
could
great.
Know about.
Yeah,
comedy.
Yeah. And Tim, it was kind of funny. Like, we were all kind of starstruck. It just happened so suddenly. And so then this guy walks past us that McGregor knows, and Connor like shakes his hand, and the guy's like, and Connor goes, what happened here? What's going on here?
What do you have, like a jaw?
No, he just said something. He just something looked off.
His jaw, was, wired
his
or
jaw was a little fucked up, and the guy goes, oh, you know, I used to be a boxer. So
that's
whole,
classic Connor, by the way, spotting every week.
He goes, like, the whole upper deck of my mouth has just been fucked up forever because I used to be a boxer, you know. And anyway, I'll see you around. It's great seeing you. And they shake hands, and the guy goes inside, and then Connor like goes to us, and he goes like, I hate that fucking prick, that motherfucker. I hate that cocksucker, that fucking prick. He's a fucking UFC lawyer. That guy's made my life live in hell.
By the way,
that
this is a huge
guy,
this is a big
guy's
part,
made my life live in hell.
Big part of this story is Devin comes over to my house like a couple nights after, and he's telling me the story, and I go, UFC lawyer. And I pull up a picture, and I go, it wasn't this guy, was
it?
Yeah,
it was him.
And it was Hunter Campbell,
yeah,
who is an infamous villain in UFC. So basically, Dana White brought in this corporate lawyer to his job, basically, is to pay fighters the lowest amount possible.
Okay.
That's his whole job.
Okay, that explains a
lot
of his
anger. So every fighter hates his fucking guts.
McGregor, Connor hated this guy.
I'm sure he's cost Connor millions of
dollars. He goes into the hotel, and through the glass of the hotel, the guy's like, at the lobby inside, we're outside. Connor's like looking at him through the glass, just talking all this shit about how much he hates him. And then I made a joke. I go like, yeah, you should go in there and fucking break the bottom deck of his mouth. And he like laughs. He's like, ha ha ha. Oh, yeah. And then he goes right back to Ida.
Connor cackle.
He goes right back to Ida. Like, what are you up to tonight? What are you doing? Would you like to get raped? Can I rape you? Any chance I could rape you tonight?
You know, 2 years ago, I would defend him on that, but he's not.
I'm kidding. I don't think he's rapist.
No,
I don't know anything about
him.
He's
become such a scumbag.
He's a real celebrity. There's just the way that he was just out front. He was really nice and great.
He was nice to you.
He was nice to us.
Well,
he wanted to fuck
your girlfriend in front of you.
My girlfriend was. I never say that.
Yeah,
Ida's
but you
my
show
girlfriend.
Up with a girl. You kind of. It's implied.
It's a little
it's
implied.
Like, there's manners. Even if you don't know, you don't assume. That's the manners. That's the basic manners.
So then we leave. We say bye. He shakes our hands. We say bye. We go inside. And then I'm like, fuck, I just keep thinking about you. I'm like, God damn it, I got to document this moment. Like, I wish I got a picture, blah, blah, blah. And Ida's like, we should go get a picture. So we turn back around, we walk out there, and I think the bodyguard heard us saying, like, I would love to get a picture. And the guy goes, he's not doing pictures, guys, sorry. And Connor goes, what are you talking about? I'm not going to do a picture with you. Yeah. Get over here. He, like, calls us back over, he takes a picture with us, and then he asks us what we're doing that night. He goes, like, what are you guys up to tonight? Like, what's going on? And we're like, we're just hanging in, you know, our friend's room, 22B. And he goes, maybe I'll stop by. I'd love to smoke a joint. You know, maybe have a couple beers or whatever.
Yeah. Tim's still not in that room.
Tim's in that room, but like
you just said the name of the room.
Ida just gave up.
Well, you just said it on the podcast.
Well, he'll be gone.
He's gone.
Oh,
okay. He's gone.
This is released.
So I'm like, holy shit. Okay, what?
Yeah. Also,
like,
right before.
First off, you're not gonna do this because like I'm there.
Right.
So you don't. You know that you're not coming back to a room with just
with
a
two
girl.
Guys. In
two
guys.
Yeah. Me and Tim sit there eat Sundays while you fucking like you know fuck Ida. Like, how's this gonna go? So then we go back to Tim's room and we're just talking about it. We start watching like Sopranos clips or whatever. And then I keep thinking like, God, I hope Conor McGregor doesn't come to the door because this will be awkward.
That honestly,
could you imagine if he came? And you he's know, like, "Hey, how you doing? About I got a joint. I got some beers. Here's some proper 12. Let's get fucked up." And then Tim relapses because of McGregor. Like it would have been
you're
like
giving
a wild
him like
time.
A hilarious out of play. Yeah. Like you're giving him the wrong Irish
Lucky
accent.
Charms,
you're giving him a Lucky Charms. He has a weird. Thug
I don't even
Irish
know what it is. He's really. He's just very.
It's
Irish.
A distinct. It's like it's like almost a, like a snatch Irish.
It's like a prod like from the yeah. Irish Projects. Accent.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's like a much
exactly.
deeper Irish accent.
But no, it's so.
But
funny.
He was ultimately. Very cool and very nice, and it was a great time.
It is a funny, surprising moment. It's funny to think about though, where he's gotten to a point where he's now like, God, I hope Conor doesn't show up at my goddamn hotel.
No, Conor, because I remembered the stories, and I was like, just the way he was looking at Ida, I was like, oh boy.
Like, could you ever imagine?
I mean, I'm like, what am I going to be the guy that goes, hey, you can't fuck my girlfriend? Like, you know, I mean, I'm the guy that goes, Conor, go ahead.
Well, see, he did have one leg, so you probably still didn't have a chance, but one leg, you and Tim against him could have fought him
he
off.
He didn't
from
give
a
shit about his injury, by the way.
No, I know, but
he
still.
He was standing up. He was doing fucking the water dance.
You guys could at least push him off, Ida, and then he would be like, all right, I can't stand up. He would choke you out on the ground, and he might choke you out like one at a time
yeah.
and then rape Ida.
Maybe.
That's possible.
Yeah, it's all possible, but thank God he didn't come to the room.
If somebody told me, though, like a few years ago, you're going to have a friend, your best friend Devin's going to meet him at a hotel and then dread the fact that he might come hang out with them, I'd say, all right, no, this is, you're talking
you're
Looney Tunes nonsense.
Well, I wasn't really dreading it. I was just more so like, how are the logistics of this going to work? Also, Tim doesn't give a shit. You know,
no, Tim's like,
so like Ida telling him the room number, I was already like, oh boy, like, you know, Tim doesn't care. He doesn't want this fucking drunk coming to the room.
Right.
You know,
like some annoying Irish drunk. I don't need him.
It was funny, but he didn't come. He obviously, he sensed that it like wasn't just some easy pussy. Like if Ida was just alone and obviously like letting him on, like
if she gave him
he
a hint.
Come.
If she gave him a hint,
but he didn't want to like have beers with me as I like pick his brain about like Khabib.
See, this is why we're different. I would have gone in for like a handshake, and then I would have like whispered into his ear like, hey, you could have sex with my girlfriend. Please come here.
Listen, I would have done that. I wasn't against my rules.
No, I'm totally. I would have done that, you know, literally in 2015, 2016.
Yeah.
Now it's just, I have the same feeling where it would just be like, hey, nice to meet you, man. We gotta go.
I was just kind of surprised by how much he wanted to speak to us. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it was kind of crazy.
Well, that's what makes it very sad. So as a fight fan, I should say, I do have a hope that Conor can redeem himself and come back and become a champion again, heal from that horrific injury and make up for the, you know, punching that old man in the face at the bar and some of that.
Making fun of Khabib's dad for dying.
Exactly.
Know?
And threatening to kill Dustin's wife and
throwing
kids.
The chair on the bus.
Throwing the
I was about
dolly,
to make
it, yeah.
I was close to making a chair joke with him. I didn't know how it would go.
It was a dolly, so he probably wouldn't have gotten it.
But I was about to be like, oh, you know, you should go in there. You should throw a fucking chair at his bus.
Throw a dolly at Hunter Campbell. Yeah. He probably would have.
He hated that fucking guy.
Everybody
the
hates that
The minute
guy.
He walked away, he goes, oh, that fucking prick.
If you go on like Reddit MMA, every single, like, there's a bunch of, if you go, like, if you just Google, like, Reddit MMA plus Hunter Campbell, you'll see a bunch of posts where he is now, like, getting shit on by every real fan.
He's a funny-looking guy. He looked kind of like a pig. He had, like, a piggish face.
He has a pig face.
He had an odd face. Yeah, like, he looks like he got punched a lot.
He probably, you know, he said, like, I used to box. What he meant was, I used to get punched in the face by bullies.
Right. He kept saying, oh, I used to be a boxer, so that's why I had to get, you know, this surgery. But I was like, oh, I guess, I don't know. You're a lawyer? You're a UFC lawyer?
He's a lawyer, but Dana brought him in and just basically made him do my dirty work.
Right.
He does the dirty work for Dana. He's the bad cop.
Right.
In the negotiations. So Dana's like, no, yeah, I think you deserve that much. But talk to Hunter. And then Hunter goes, yeah, I did the math, and you don't get that much. You get this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you get.
Interesting.
And then every fighter
Richie, who is
him.
The most famous person you've met?
Most famous.
Because Conor McGregor, when we left and the night ended, I was like, holy shit, that's likely the most famous person I've ever met because he is world famous. I mean, right, Conor McGregor is like almost a billionaire.
He's more famous than like George Clooney.
I fucking forgot. Yeah, right. Exactly.
At this point,
forgot that he fought Floyd Mayweather. Like it was just so because we had just watched this fight like 3 weeks ago.
How many followers does he have? Like he has like 50 million followers.
Let me check right now.
You know,
well, most famous person I've just met, Bill Clinton.
Okay, that's pretty.
I met Bill Clinton twice.
That's big, especially when did you meet him?
When he was president.
Connor's got 40.
So that's about as big. Yeah, that's actually bigger.
All the politicians I've met. I met Bill Clinton. I met Hillary Clinton. I met George Bush.
Did he try to fuck your girlfriend?
I met Obama twice.
Did he try to fuck your girlfriend?
I was 12, so I didn't have a girlfriend. But
did he try to fuck your sister?
He should have.
That would have been pretty cool.
That would have been pretty badass. but no, he didn't try. He didn't try to fuck anybody.
So how did you meet him?
My dad worked for Bill Clinton.
So your dad's a lobbyist.
Yeah, he was an advance man for Bill Clinton, which means he shows up to events that Bill Clinton's going to show up at and sets it up like, all right, he's going to walk through there. Only certain people can be over here. You guys, like, he just sets
everything
up.
He's kind of
up.
A producer, but for politics.
Exactly, exactly. So when I think he was in Chicago, because there's a picture, and we came from Michigan. I got a tour of Air Force One. And met Bill Clinton.
You went on the plane?
I went on Air Force One when I was like 12 years old, yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
I can't believe you've been hiding this from me.
It just never came up. You know, I would have told you. It just never came up.
If that was me, I'd crowbar that in probably
like
18 times a year. You'd hear that 18 times a year roughly from me.
And then I met Obama at just a coffee shop in D.C. I went into this coffee shop. I was meeting him with a friend. And Secret Service is outside. And
was he president?
He was president at the time. And this is when he was promoting Obamacare. So he was like going to like, you know, hipster coffee shops
rounds.
And stuff. And I show up and I'm like, what's going on? Like they had to pat you down to go into this like very normal coffee shop. And he was like, you know, he's like someone important's in there. The Secret Service is like fucking with people.
Yeah.
They were actually being really cool. This really hippie looking girl walked up to the front and they were like, you don't have any drugs on you, no weed? She's like, no. He's like, you sure? You can go stash it right now. Just get,
we don't arrest people for weed. We're the Secret Service.
No, but if they find it, he goes, if I find weed on you, I have to arrest you, but just go take care of it if you have to.
Yeah.
So they were being pretty cool. And I went in the coffee shop and I'm like on my phone and someone like nudges me and I'm just like, what do you want? Stop touching me. And I look up and it's Barack Obama. And he's just walking through the coffee shop shaking
That's
hands
pretty
with
sick.
Everybody.
Wow.
Yeah.
By the way, I would love to see Amagansett audit the Secret Service outside of a coffee.
That'd be amazing.
They go, "Do you have weed? Why are you asking about weed, sir? What are you going on? 4A. This is a violation of Fourth Amendment. Illegal search and seizure.
Read code 7.
Code 7. Poster 7 on the wall.
I know you guys knocked down building 7. Why don't you read code 7? Scumbags. No, that's crazy. You met Obama.
Twice.
And Clinton while he was
twice.
President. Now
first time I met him when he was campaigning.
He's accessible, apparently.
First time I met him when he was just campaigning. And then the second time I met him, he was president. And he just happened to be at this coffee shop in D.C. meeting with somebody. And then he went around the coffee shop and introduced himself to everyone. The funny thing about meeting politicians, at least Obama, I'll say, is, you know, you have all your notions about them. Whatever you think about Obama is whatever you think. But when you see him right in front of you, it all washes away.
Oh, no, that's the
You're
thing.
Like, oh, my God, that's Barack Obama.
Everyone always says, like, if I were to ever meet the
you wouldn't
president,
do shit.
I'd fucking...
You wouldn't?
I wouldn't shake his hand. I wouldn't do this. Dude, if Donald Trump just showed up somewhere and was, like, shaking hands, you'd be like,
when that hand,
thank you, Mr. President.
When that hand's
you'd call Donald Trump Mr. President.
You would. When that hand's right in front of you, you go, hi, Mr. President. He goes, hey, good to see you.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
You're looking good here.
Yeah, he's just like,
why he's
now he's Conor McGregor now.
Oh, it's great to see you. I love droning. I love drone strikes.
One thing I wanted to bring up to get back to Conor McGregor real quick, now that you're back, he clearly was excited to see you guys because he was rock hard in every picture.
Well, Joey says that he's hard all the time.
Maybe he's just
Joey says there's like compilations of him during weigh-ins where he's got a boner.
Maybe he's one of those guys that has like a like big flaccid cock and then it doesn't get much bigger.
These guys are also their testosterone is flowing. They're animals. This guy is like probably always primed to fuck. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, he was rock. That was one of the first things I noticed when he stood up. I was like, "You have a boner right now." I was like, "This is interesting." Like Conor McGregor, I'm talking to Conor McGregor, and he's rock hard.
And then the other thing I couldn't help but notice: yellow polo tucked into sweatpants,
tucked into his own sweatpants. Yeah, the Conor McGregor like, sweatpants. He was great, honestly. I loved him.
He's
a
cool guy.
I would have loved
interesting
to have some
fashion
pie
choice.
With him.
You know, I'm not a fashionista or anything. Yeah. I'm a scumbag, but who tucks a polo into sweatpants?
When you're really buff, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah,
when you're in great shape, like you can just dress like a clown. It's like cool. You know what I mean?
That's
like
true.
LeBron dresses like ridiculous. Like Russell Westbrook. Yeah, Russell Westbrook. Guys all dress insane, but they somehow make it work.
Right, but it's not like anyone. Certain people do, but for the most part, everyone's like Russell Westbrook. You look like an idiot.
Sure, he'll dress like a fucking
schoolboy. Stupid. Yeah.
Yeah, no, but it was a cool time. It was a cool experience. We went to the dinner earlier that night with Tim, and Jamie Foxx was there.
Right, yeah.
Just yelling at his table.
Nobu.
What a presence he has. He's the fucking, I mean, oh my God. I looked over and I was like, that's Jamie Foxx just yelling at his table.
I know. I think it's interesting to tell people the level of on that he is at just hanging out.
He was the center of it was like maybe 8 men and 1 woman, and he's just being Jamie. He's not just sitting back like, oh, I'm at dinner. He's like, I'm Jamie Foxx and this is my dinner.
He was like, you described it. He's like going off.
He's going off. He's like yelling. Like me and Tim went to the bathroom a couple times just to look at him and be like, oh, wow, Jamie Foxx really going off right now. We sat next to this table full of fucking hens. There's like 10 women just drunk, like white chicks, like literally out of white chicks.
Yeah, with like penis hats
just screaming
on.
Like, oh my God, Becky, that's so funny. And this white businessman who was sitting next to them walked over past them and he goes, I just talked to Jamie Foxx. And they all laughed like, oh my God, Jamie Foxx. It's a wild place. And then Pink was there.
What a throwback. It's always interesting to see like someone
Pink.
Whose career's kind of, I mean, she's on features.
She's great. She looks like Tim, but she's doing great music wise. I guess
she's a little overweight.
She looks a little.
If she had a baby, didn't she have a newborn?
Yeah, she had a kid with her, and the table full of hens was like filming her without her knowing, and it was like really gross.
That's
to
awesome.
Sit next to. They were just like all holding their phones like under the table, like filming her, like as she's like holding her baby. And then when she left and walked by us, the table full of hens was like, we love your music! Yeah! Woohoo! They all should. I wanted to like just throw like fucking bird feed in the room and just watch them all fucking run for it. They were real annoying. But no, it was a wild night. I saw like probably the most amount of famous people I've seen in one night.
Yeah, Jamie.
It was like going to a Lakers game. The whole night was like a Lakers game. The dinner we went to, seeing Jamie Foxx, Pink, who knows who else was in the fucking place. There was some rapper next to us that looked like Little Peep. He looked like Little Peep. I'd be like, Little Peep's dead, but this guy, he's here, apparently, with some other black dude. And then the people were taking pictures with them. And I was like, I'm like, holy shit, am I old? Like, I don't know who these guys are. Who the fuck are they? And then just Jamie, we left. We were there for like an hour and a half. We left. Jamie Foxx still yelling at his table. He was still just holding court.
It's great. Any interview you see him in, anytime you see Jamie Foxx, I mean, he is always just like running at 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, just hearing the stories about like when people come to his house, like other performers, he like makes you perform. Like he's just like, get up. Everyone's got
right.
It's like an open mic
try,
at his house, but in front of A-listers. He's just like, get up there, dance.
He's the most multi-talented guy possibly ever.
Yeah, he's incredible.
I mean, honestly, I mean, you could make a case like Eddie Murphy maybe, but I think Jamie Foxx is a better actor than Eddie Murphy.
Just based on Django
alone. Just based on his roles. Just based on being in more movies like Collateral and fucking, you know, Ray and...
Right.
He's
yeah,
an actor.
Right.
He's like an actor. Yeah. I mean, Eddie Murphy, like his probably his best performance was in like what, Dreamgirls?
Yeah.
Which is like fine movie, but it's like that's
I probably
not...
like him the best in like Bowfinger.
Right, but that's he's a
yeah,
comic
a
act.
Movie.
He's still being
yeah,
the funny. I mean, he's the funniest comic actor ever, probably. Yeah. I think Eddie Murphy is the funniest comic actor ever.
Yeah. He's out there.
Think about it. I mean,
Maybe
there's like
Jim
bad
Car-
movies.
Maybe Jim Carrey.
There's yeah, yeah.
Just because of Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, no, true. Jim, you can make a case for Carrey.
Yeah,
but there's like dumb movies that were made in like the 2000s, but like Eddie Murphy's in them, and you're like, it's a bad movie, but you're like, but it's still pretty good because Eddie Murphy's just killing it the whole movie. There's this hunk of shit movie called I Spy, with him and like Owen Wilson, and they're like. He's like a boxer, and Owen Wilson's like in the CIA, and like he has to become like friends with Eddie Murphy because they use him as like a spy to like infiltrate like Russia or something. Mm-hmm. It's a bad movie, but Eddie Murphy's just Eddie Murphy. He's just so fucking funny. You ever seen Life?
No.
You never seen Life?
I've never seen Life. I know.
Martin Lawrence and Eddie Murphy. You've never seen that movie?
No, I haven't seen a lot of. I actually have not seen a lot of Eddie Murphy movies. I just
holy
know that
shit,
he's great.
Dude! Life is one of my favorite movies like ever made. It's so underrated.
Mm-hmm.
It's also like kind of devastating, but it's like, but Eddie Murphy is so fucking funny in that movie, and that's not even like his main. You know what I mean? Like he's Beverly Hills Cop, 48 Hours. Yeah, like yeah. That's Eddie Murphy shit. But like he is. I mean. He's so fucking funny in that movie. He's great. Eddie Murphy's amazing. But yeah, Jamie Foxx just unbelievably commanding presence, intimidating. Remember, I think if you haven't seen this, people, you need to look this up. You've seen the clip of him roasting that black comic on the roast of like Shaq or whatever.
No, I haven't seen it.
What?
No, I haven't seen it.
It's like an infamous clip. He embarrasses this guy. This guy Doug somebody. I forget his last name. This guy goes up there. He's like roasting. I forget who he's roasting. I think maybe it's Shaq. Yeah, I think it's Shaq. And he's just bombing. And Eddie Murphy's the host of the show. Or Jamie Foxx is hosting the roast.
I love this clip.
And you've seen
go
this,
on.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And this guy is just bombing. And then he starts making jokes. And Jamie Foxx is like sitting there. And they're all just kind of like, oh boy, this is bad. And Jamie Foxx has his like lavalier mic. And he starts talking into it. And he just goes like, he starts like doing the guy's like inner voice, like,
I have seen that.
I'm
clip.
Your
I have
conscience.
Seen,
I'm your conscience.
Yes,
he's
I have
like,
seen that.
I'm
clip.
Fucking. Up. Am I fucking up right now? He goes, I'm fucking up right now. He goes this, and then the guy tries to make a joke about Jamie Foxx, like, oh yeah, I loved you and Held Up. You know, Held Up was great, or like, you know, some movie like that. And he goes, I just did another joke that didn't go over. And the whole crowd's laughing. And they're, I mean, it's like it's hard to watch. It's like. It's rough. I felt horrible for that guy. But Jamie Foxx wasn't even a fucking stand-up, really. Like, he was just, but killing it. Like,
yeah.
Decimating this guy.
Jamie Foxx is one of those dudes who could, he did do it, but he obviously could do stand-up. Probably very well. If
easily,
he
easily.
Yeah.
These bums out there, are you kidding me?
I know.
Jamie Foxx would be one of the best stand-ups of all time.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was a... Wild night. Jamie Foxx was at dinner earlier that night with Tim.
Oh, no kidding.
And Pink, the recording artist.
So Pink, Jamie Foxx, 2 Chainz, Conor McGregor.
I didn't see 2 Chainz that night. I saw him on Instagram.
But he
though.
Posted a picture from the lobby where he was apparently sitting for hours, where you met him.
Right.
He posted a picture from that same area where he must have been hanging out so long that 2 Chainz.
Yeah, no,
up.
I love this thing that, like, that I love this new. Revelation that to find out that Conor McGregor just hangs out in like at valet parking lots to make sure people know. Like,
I consider
see
this breaking news.
He was just hanging out like literally right where like the valet takes your car.
If MMA
just
junkie,
just with his leg on a chair, just waiting for people to be like, "Oh, you're Conor McGregor."
The biggest publication in MMA is called MMA Junkie. If they were to break this story, like Conor McGregor caught. Hanging outside of a hotel lobby alone for hours, that's the headline. It would do Iron Man numbers.
Yeah.
It would blow up.
They should post my picture.
Well, no, you should leak it to like,
I should leak it.
You know, page 6.
Hanging out at the Beverly
Hills. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He said he was training there, which we were like, what? He was like, yeah, they built a fucking gym. He was like, yeah, they built a gym for me. I've been training here. They built a whole separate part for me. Like, he acted like he was like Michael Jordan on the set of Space Jam, where he was like, yeah, they built a whole court for me.
No, he's The Rock. They have an 8-ton gym.
I had to talk to a guy that worked at the hotel, and she was like, is there a gym here that you guys set up for
him?
And he was like, no.
That was one of his moves on Ida.
He was lying. He was like telling Ida.
That
like,
was one of his moves.
He's like, I'm strong as ever. I'm strong as an ox. He's like, oh, the leg is fine. He was like, practically like he was about to take his foot out of the cast and be like, "Look, I'm fine." Like he just started jumping and like it was.
He's trying to get laid so hard that he starts doing jumping.
Dude, it was like Connor, get a hooker.
Well,
Jesus Christ.
That's I guess.
What if he wanted to fuck Tim?
That would be the best twist.
That might be what he actually wanted. Who knows?
Look at this fine piece of ass.
Oh my god, I love your comedy.
I'm a chubby chaser.
I love your comedy. I love let's eat some Sundays together and I'll fuck the shit out of you. Dude.
I'll eat a Sunday up here.
How about we order room service? I'll rub a cheeseburger over your nipples and fuck the shit out of you.
One of my favorite. First of all,
it was funny watching. Like I've seen Tim meet a lot of people. Tim was like, we were blindsided.
Yeah.
So we just turned, and it was funny. Like Tim was even like, "I'm Irish." Like Tim was like said, like, "I'm Irish."
Yeah.
Like we're Irish. Like it was kind of funny. Like everyone turns into a kid around a guy that famous. Yeah. You know.
No, it sounds like it quickly wore off on Tim. Where
Tim left. Tim was like, okay, all right, yeah. I get it. No. And he like went back to his room, and then we start walking with him, and then I was like, I want to get a picture, blah, blah, blah. Tim's like, you guys, you do that. He goes, you do that. You
know? There's a moment of being stunned when you're at that level of fame where you're just like, all right, I guess let me try to say hi. And then if you're a guy like Tim, this is what makes Tim such a legend, by the way. I don't want to toot his horn too much.
We should toot his horn. He is a legend. Tim Dillon is the greatest comedy solo broadcaster in the history of comedy.
I mean, that's not the best compliment because there's like three solo broadcasters.
No, I think it is a bigger compliment because it's so impossible to pull off. It's so hard. Like, no one, there's not even that many names up there because it's literally an impossible task.
The compliment is he is the first guy in comedy to pull off a pure solo broadcast.
Here's another
and
compliment.
Build that audience.
As far as I'm concerned, he's the only comedian in the world.
He's the only last guy that's still being
current.
True and
funny. I'm not counting like Bill Burr and like Dave Chappelle or Louis.
He's the new, from Tim that is, generation.
Tim is the only comic on earth.
Anyone under 50, essentially.
Yeah, sure, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
Literally the only guy that I'm like, why does anyone care about what anyone has to say but Tim? Tim's the only person that anyone should give a shit about.
I happen to. But it's just so funny to picture.
They're quoting him on Fox News now.
He's
an
icon.
On Fox News, they're going like, the great philosopher Tim Dillon said this, and they're like quoting his tweets like to make
I mean,
like,
that was
tongue-in-cheek.
I saw that clip. That was tongue-in-cheek.
Do you think it was?
Of course. Yeah, it was tongue-in-cheek. But regardless, the fact that he's making it as a reference on that level, doesn't matter if it's tongue-in-cheek.
Well, I just think he's a hot pot of cabbage and corned beef. I just wanted to fuck him.
I'd love to
mix around.
He goes, say
what you want about his comedy. I don't care. I want to
fuck
really
him. I don't care. I'd love to mix around his shepherd's pie.
I go, you might be talented
as
hell.
I'd love to stick my Johnson in his shepherd's pie. Fucking that meaty pie of his. Oh, I'd love to get a piece of that. That'd be so funny if he comes to the room, he shoves Ida out of the way. He jumps on Tim.
He goes, ew, get out of here.
Get out of here, you
get
fucking whore. I'm here for the beast.
I'm here for that tall pint of Guinness right there. Oof.
I'm not here for you, you fucking whaler. You fucking nut.
He goes, I'm not 18 anymore.
Get
that doesn't do it
face
for me.
With your hot tits. I'm here for his tits.
Holy shit.
He goes, get your cuck boyfriend out of here. I'm about to fuck the shit out of Tim Dillon. He goes, can you two leave?
He goes, pussy doesn't do it for me anymore, you lad.
He goes, I'm about to eat chocolate sauce out of Tim Dillon's Johnson.
He's looking like a potato and there's a famine.
Oh man, what would have happened if he came to the room?
But what if it happened? I'll tell you exactly. I just imagine him busting
into the room with like a joint in his mouth.
I'm in
holding
Connor's,
a bottle of whiskey.
I've studied his
three
psychology.
Glasses.
Here's what would have happened. First of all,
he would have been in the news.
Well, had he come there,
we would have been in the news.
He would have had to have been very hammered. He's not showing up. He was being gracious and he was
being like cordial and
he was trying to be, you know, I'm a friendly guy. Yeah, maybe we'll hang out. Well, what if happened? Let's say here's the scenario where he actually comes. He goes back to his room, he's on one leg, they wheel him up, He's like, oh, my leg hurts. He goes, bring me a couple of bottles. They bring him some whiskey. They don't know that he, and by the way, the reason they said don't take a picture with him is because he's been arrested when a guy tried to take a picture with him. He grabbed the guy's phone, smashed it, stole it, and then ran away with it.
Well, the guy tried to take a picture without his consent then, right?
Yeah, yeah, but it was okay. In public, so sure. 1A.
I get that. 1A. But we were asking him, and he, you know.
No, 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 but so my point is, if you're a security guard, they don't care whether right. or not they're on, you know, their radar is up. They're going like, okay, no pictures. We don't want that to happen ever again. So anyways, here's how it goes. He's now drunk. He snuck a little coke in that he bought like at the club two nights ago. They didn't realize he bought like 3 8-balls.
He did some coke with 2 Chainz.
No, like a friend gave him like 3 8-ball, like right. just a fan.
His friend.
No, like one of the club promoters, right. like, here's 3 8-balls. Come back anytime.
His buddy Rory.
Club promoter.
Yeah.
And so he has those in his pocket. He's been snorting it all night. He's on one leg. He does a little too much. He drinks a little too much. And he goes, what was that room number they gave me?
22B.
22B? That sounds familiar.
He just breaks the door down.
No, he shows up.
He jumps through the window.
His cast is off.
He comes crawling through the window.
He's
like
running full speed. He's already recovered somehow from the break.
He comes through the window like Richard Ramirez. Just like the night stalker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, is that Conor McGregor? We're all watching like The Sopranos, and Conor McGregor breaks through the window.
Yeah, he's like
his bodyguards were asleep. He broke out of his own room.
Yeah.
His bodyguards don't know he's there.
Exactly. He's like, yeah, he snuck through the adjoining room.
And then
like,
he gets there, and then we realize there's no sinister intent. He goes, I just loved your conversation. He goes, you guys make great conversation.
It was stimulating as hell.
Incredibly stimulating. All of y'all, you're so fucking smart. You have so many good things to say about the world. I just wanted to. He goes, what do you guys think about Israel Palestine?
But actually, he would have gone, well, you know, let's have a drink. He goes, I brought a bottle. Everybody drink. You're now all drunk. And he goes, let me just make a call. Let me bring a friend.
I'm going to make Ida a cocktail in the bathroom.
He goes,
hey, Ida, you don't need to come in the room here. I'm just making you a cocktail. I have a little special pill to put in.
No, Ida's already been raped at this point.
I have a little pill. Oh,
Ida's already been.
This is post-rape.
Ida's in the hospital. Right. So you guys are now covering it
She's
up.
Bruised.
Yeah, you're drunk enough to be like, no, we didn't see anything.
Yeah,
like,
Tim and I show up. We're like, what happened?
Tim's off the wagon. He started drinking.
Tim's drunk. Tim's wandering
Tim
the streets.
Tim started drinking again. No, Tim's still there, but he's fallen off the wagon. He's like, Connor's charm brought me back into booze. I'm now drunk too. I just in the hospital, yeah. But I'm not saying
no,
a
Tim's
word.
Tim's at BOA. He's fucking Bryce Hall or some TikTok star. He's just...
But Connor goes, let me just make a call. I ran out of coke, and makes a call. 15 minutes later, a guy knock on the door. Guy walks in. He's 6'7", and he's wearing a leather jacket. And he has even a worse Irish accent than Connor. And he walks in, and Connor owes him $300,000 for some reason. And you don't know why.
Yeah, you have no clue. Yeah.
And so Connor just got done raping everybody in that room.
He raped me.
He raped you.
He's like, I didn't love the otter. He's like, oh, butt fuck that otter. He was a little.
You keep calling yourself an otter. Is that?
That's what people say I would be in the gay community because I'm like, I'm hair. I'm like,
what, is that a gay
a
term?
It's like a skinny guy with a beard. I think
that's a gay
is
term.
An otter, yeah, in the gay community, I think.
An otter.
You never heard this?
Yeah, I've heard that.
You've heard the otter thing, yeah. Yeah.
I'm out of the loop.
He goes, I fucked the bear, I fucked the otter, and I was crying. And I raped the girl.
He goes, what can be
done?
What
else could be done? He's like, it's a grand slam.
I already did
everything I needed to do. I just need some coke. My bodyguard's asleep. I broke out of the room. I fucking broke out of my room to go rape this otter and this bear and this girl.
Yeah, so at that point, the big thug, he rapes Connor and everybody else. So now you've been raped twice. And then as they're leaving, they go, yeah, you know, welcome to Ireland. And then they leave. And you guys,
Connor gets arrested after a rape, and he goes, it's a doctor stoppage! Doctor stoppage!
No, as he's having sex with Ida, he comes in like 5 seconds, and he goes, doctor stoppage! Doctor stoppage!
He comes quick. He goes, every time he comes quick, he yells, it's a doctor stoppage.
He's blaming it on the doctor stoppage. But what a story,
he
man.
He comes quick. He goes, this is Dana White's fault. I fucking hate Dana White.
He goes, Hunter Campbell.
He goes, Hunter Campbell's a cocksucker. Motherfucker is trying to ruin my life. He won't let me finish a rape.
That is very weird. That
he's
Hunter
not been
Campbell,
charged with rape, has he? He got charged. He got charged.
But they didn't press charges. He wasn't.
He's not a rapist.
I mean,
he wasn't convicted.
He wasn't convicted.
No, they dropped the charges.
I don't think he's a rapist.
They dropped the charges. So there was probably some fishy.
Maybe he is.
Years ago, I would have defended him so much and been like, that's fucking bullshit. There's no way. He's become such a scumbag. And your story, by the way, doesn't help that.
Yeah, you think so?
No way. You made him sound like a weird, lecherous pervert who's like,
well,
ready
I don't know
to
though.
Fuck
just
Aya.
I mean, listen, here's
I mean,
the
it
thing.
It was 8 minutes, right? It was like 10, 15.
It was like an
yeah,
eight
but
ten
the whole
minute.
Time he was licking his chops
the,
and being
the,
a weirdo.
The wanting to drink and smoke a joint with us was cool, but then when I thought about it, I'm like, yeah, I'm just like a fanboy. Like, that's cool just because I'm like, holy shit, what a moment that would have been. But at the back of my mind, I'm like, yeah, he's not doing it for that. He wants to do that to fuck my girlfriend.
Right.
Either way, it's extremely sad to see somebody at his level, who has a wife and kids, and he's got maybe $500 million, sitting outside of a hotel lobby, waiting like a fucking Walmart greeter, just waiting to just say, recognize
when
me.
When I left, I was like, fuck, he really did. He's just sitting there to like for people to see him. He wants the attention. Like, why would you be at the front, just outside
it's
the
fucking,
front of the
it's
lobby?
It's sad. Imagine if, like, it's not like a Kobe comparison, but imagine if somebody who, not because, you know, my Kobe is like Daniel Cormier or something, yeah, but imagine like somebody who used to be very good and they still might be good.
They're retired, kind
Can
of.
Can you think of, not retired, but somebody that could still be great, but they're in a weird period? Do you have an example?
I mean, okay, like NBA-wise, like, okay, Carmelo Anthony.
Sure, exactly. Yeah, Carmelo, yeah. Like, in the first couple of years where he started to fall off, you see him doing something like that? You yeah. see him sitting in front of a hotel lobby?
He's just standing out front, just, like, hoping people.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It's sad. And you're,
but would Connor not have been like this 2 years ago?
No, dude.
You don't think he'd be sitting out
no!
front?
No! Connor, you know, maybe...
He almost seems like that type of personality. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here.
The only reason I hesitated was because 2 years might still be within that window where he started becoming like a degenerate. But let's go 3 years. He was the most disciplined guy in the sport, and he was plotting out how to take over to be a two-division champion and doing the most intense training and nonstop studying, nonstop training, and then he did not ever take time off to do shit like that. He was always training. He had no time off. And then, so now he, you know, subsequently, he's punching old men in the face at bars. You know that?
Yeah, he beat the shit out of an old man.
Fucking punched an old man at
a
bar.
He, like, fucked, like, up. He, like, beat the shit out of Hal Holbrook.
Yeah, exactly. And he's just running around Dublin like a fucking thug, just being bored. Just, like, actually hanging out with gangsters in Dublin, just being like, look, I'm fucking
bored. Literally runs with goons, right? I mean,
yeah,
those guys that, like,
yeah.
that fucked up yeah. the bus with him were, yeah. like, legitimate, just, like, Dublin.
Well,
that
was his MMA team.
He, like, runs around with, like, the fucking Clockwork Orange
guys. Well, that was, like, Artem Lobov, who's the
He breaks
goat.
Into our room singing in the rain. I'm singing in the rain. Just starts raping Aya.
Oh, I did the little in-out with someone's girlfriend.
Yeah.
He bashes fucking my brains in with a statue.
Ultra violence, boys.
Ultra violence. Conor McGregor.
But no, it's just like, no, that's a complete fall from grace. To go from being a guy who's completely dialed in, focused, training every day, nonstop. If you're not training, you're thinking about fighting, you're studying footage. It's like there's this Phil Ivey quote, who's a poker player, where they asked him, like, so he's still considered the GOAT, and he is the GOAT in my opinion, but at one point when he was, like, in his peakest of the peaks, when he was the absolute GOAT, they go, like, somebody asked him, like, how did you get so good at poker? And he goes, well, I just only thought about poker. The whole, like, I did, that's all I thought about.
Right.
And it sounds like he might be exaggerating, but he's not. He's dead seriously. That is all that he thought about for 10 years. And that was Connor with MMA. And then so if you're punching old men in the face and if you're punching old men in the face and you're running around and getting fucking rape charges and doing all the bullshit that he did.
Punching the old guy in the face is a little fucked up. What was the story behind that? What technically happened?
You really glossed over the rape stuff. I mean, that was worse than punching an old guy
well,
in the face.
Well, it's not. He hasn't been convicted, so.
Well, I mean.
Live and let live.
The charge, I mean.
You're talking to a Kobe fan here, okay?
That was like the most self-deprecating joke.
It's like we're that's the only time I'll ever make a joke.
Yeah, you're like, okay, we're rape glossers over in the Kobe.
So I'm about to gloss. I'll
defend it to the day I die.
So
it's definitely different than Connor's.
On the old man,
Connor's obviously a psychotic, vicious rapist. And
our very good
Kobe was in the wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah, yeah. Kobe's innocent, and he you can tell by looking at him that he's a sweet man.
Can tell.
And he never's talked crazy. I hope your dad is dead because he's evil.
No,
shit.
No, never, ever.
He was a fucking sweet guy.
The only thing Kobe ever got in trouble for was he called a referee a faggot one time, and then the whole LGBTQ community like made him like apologize, and he did, and then he like donated a bunch of money to like gays and shit.
Yeah, that's called being in the heat of competition.
But he was just like upset. He was in the middle of a game. He got
they
gave him like four fouls like really early. He had to go sit on the bench, and he goes like Benny. He goes like fuck. You just see him mouth it like fucking. Like
I'm very progressive.
News. It was like 2013.
So.
Okay, he's definitely he said it much
no,
less
no,
longer.
What I was going to say is like
Matt Damon's been saying fag more than Kobe.
If Kobe
we recently found out that Matt Damon just stopped saying it. I don't mean to change topics, but I don't know if you guys saw that.
Let me finish this one point. So, to defend the old man getting punched, and then we're going to go straight to Matt Damon because I don't know about this, and I want to know about it. Old man thing, here was the story. Connor was at a bar in Dublin, and he went to this bar, and I'm buying everybody rounds. And there's an old drunkard who's been sitting there drinking all day, and the guy was like, I don't want any of that piss.
Right.
To proper 12.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't want any of that piss.
Did he not know that it was his?
No, he knew.
He knew.
People in Ireland don't give a fuck. A lot of people in Ireland don't give a fuck.
Do they not like McGregor?
Well, no. Right
he's
now, they all hate
hero?
Him.
Oh, really?
Right now, everybody in Ireland hates
really?
Him.
Really?
Pretty much.
Huh. My Irish fans.
You know who loves him?
They go crazy for
well,
him.
Well, your Irish fans, they're Americans. They were born and raised in America. So these are people that haven't left Ireland.
Right.
They're all sick.
They don't
of them.
Like him.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
So anyways, this guy, though, goes like, I don't want any of that piss. He's like, get that away from me. And Connor goes like, oh, he goes, hey, I bought you a shot there. Like, do the shot. And he says, like, another thing, like, no, I'm not interested. And Connor just goes, famous left-hand side of the head, socks him, and then runs out. So
an
it's scumbag
man.
Move. But so that's the whole story. Give me the Damon stuff.
Oh, Matt Damon just recently was, like, in the news for he said, like, he stopped saying the F slur because he said it, you know, and his daughter said, like, that's really, you can't say that.
His daughter,
really
like, wrote
bad.
Some, like, essay on
she
it.
She wrote, like, an
something.
Essay on it,
yeah.
And so he's like, I was so impressed, and I vowed never to say it again. And then he got in a bunch of trouble for that because it was like, what, like people were making fun of him for like, still saying the word. Like,
right. It was on
and
the
then,
same.
And then he goes, like, I've never said the word ever. Like to protect his image and
she's
shit.
Like, it wouldn't be a good essay though.
Let's be honest, it's such a nonsense story. It's like leave Matt Damon alone. Can we stop acting like he's but, like fucking a white supremacist because he's a white guy from Boston that's in movies that like said used to say fag. Like what is
he's
from
also
fucking Boston. The mayor says it.
Yeah.
The mayor comes out. He makes a speech. He's like, you know, this street is closed today, so you faggots can't go down it, okay? I don't know what you want from
me. I mean citizens.
I mean citizens of Boston. You know, you faggots of Boston. I'm sorry, again. My daughter told me I can't say the word anymore, but...
Citizen spelled S-I-T-I-Z.
Exactly. Very good.
That ain't how you fucking spell it.
Citizen, you're a cop.
Yeah.
You're a cop. How do I know? What? We're saying anyone's cops.
That is one of the
no,
best
but I
scenes.
Thought, yeah, that was like, he was like in the news. It's just, he was in Twitter news. Nobody real.
Yeah.
Nobody real.
But
cares,
the funny thing about it, and not even close to the same thing, but very similar line of thought as Liam Neeson.
When Liam Neeson's like was like so upset that his friend got like
raped
by a black guy, I think.
Yeah, and
he was like, I went around that day just looking for a bloody black guy to beat the shit
he
out.
He goes, any bloody black
any
bastard.
Any black bastard I wanted to
beat. Any black bastard would have done.
I would have taken them.
And, yeah, then they printed it.
And then they printed it, and he's like, oh, I mean, I just... Liam thought it was progressive to admit those feelings.
He actually had the best apology.
Which made sense.
He had the best apology I've ever seen. He just came in and he was just like an old man. He was just like, it's true. I was ready to kill any black bastard.
Yeah.
He's like, it was wrong.
No, they're asking him, like, yeah, like they're yeah. and they're like trying to like make it so he doesn't get in trouble, and he's like, no, I was looking for a black any black bugger on the street. I was looking to beat the shit out of. I hate these black buggers.
That was just me at the time.
I was just at the time. I was really pissed.
Hated black buggers.
And then everyone's like, Liam, you shouldn't have said that out loud. And he's like, oh, but the point was, I was saying that it was fucked up that I was saying that way. I was being honest that I hated that I felt that way and blah, blah, blah.
It was actually a good point. He was being completely honest. If you're actually truly progressive, you should celebrate that message and say, look.
Thank you for being honest about that.
And this is how people that were racist can go from being racist to being accepted.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They don't give a path for any kind of recovery for these types of people. Liam opened that path up. He's truly progressive.
Also, like, it's funny to if you're trying to intellectualize what I guess should be the correct take. You're like, you shouldn't have been looking for any black bastard. You should have been looking for anybody. Any race that could be a rapist, not just black rapists.
Well, no, he knew the rapist was black.
I know, but I'm saying it's like you should have cared about rapists of all races.
Yeah.
Should have wanted to kill rapists of any race.
Yeah, he wanted revenge. And also, he was hyping up a revenge movie that he was promoting.
Yeah, right.
I'm a revenge guy.
Yeah.
I do revenge.
The movie was called I'm Gonna Get You, Black Buggers.
Black Buggers 2.
Black Buggers 2 starring Liam Neeson. Black buggers are out there.
By the way, somebody was just
saying... Black Buggers 2, The Infestation.
Richie, you were just saying this. You were saying all of the stars... We were watching Suicide Squad, and you were saying Idris Elba, that's their big action star. Like, that's their big hot shot. The guy's 55 years old.
Everybody's like 50.
You're like, he's old as...
Yeah.
And you go, But who is a young, tough actor? And I go, I can't. And we're talking about below 40. So, Michael, like, forget about
Michael
Tom Hardy.
Michael B. Jordan would have been the guy.
Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan,
better.
He is good, but he's like a pretty boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Idris Elba is up there now, huh?
He's old.
He's great.
But he's grizzled, though. And he's tough. And even when he was young, he had a tough air to him. I love Michael B. Jordan, but he's a... Even when he's super shredded and strong and all that, he's a pretty boy.
He's
a pretty boy. And in all of his movies, he plays, even in like...
Black Panther?
Black Panther, he plays like a weird villain, but he's covered in scars.
That's probably like the closest he gets, though, to potentially crossing over.
But even then, he doesn't really seem like a tough guy. He's just Michael B. Jordan.
He was pretty evil in that movie. I thought he did being evil.
He was evil, but he didn't do... he wasn't somebody where I was like, oh, I'm kind of scared of this guy.
Right.
He gives me the creeps. So even in like Creed, for example, where he's playing a grizzled, he's supposed to be playing a boxer. He plays a pretty boy.
Right.
Right. He's a pretty boy boxer who is like a pussy magnet and a cool guy. Whereas like the original story was Rocky, who was a guy that couldn't read. He was an Italian man who had a stroke. And he can't read, and he literally go into his apartment, and there's like a piece of pizza on his couch, and you buy it. You're like, oh yeah, that guy. If you walked into the fucking Michael B. Jordan's apartment in that movie, and you saw like he was living like that, you'd be like, this doesn't make any sense.
Right.
We don't have people like Liam Neeson anymore, or Sylvester Stallone, or any. All of the new young actors are like fucking pussies or losers or whatever.
Yeah, well, Timothy Chalamet is supposed to be in the movie, like, kicking ass, you know?
You're not supposed to be intimidating at all, I don't think.
Can you think of an actor younger than Tom Hardy, who's probably 40-something?
Who's like a tough guy that's like cool?
Yeah. A cool, tough guy.
Actors are dead in that
Shia
way.
Shia LaBeouf
where it's like,
is like the
Shia
only,
LaBeouf, yeah, right.
But
Shia
he's
LaBeouf,
like 35,
and
probably.
And he's more edgy than like a tough guy.
He passes the test on.
Well, you know
that
what happened
me.
To actors? It's like back in the day, like you know, you're fucking,
all
you're,
war
you're Robert Mitchums, you're these, these classic guys. They were fucking in the war,
right?
Like they came back from war, and then they had like lives. Like they became actors at like 30. Like they were like They were, you know, they had lived. They were
forced to have lives.
They were forced to by the way of the world.
They didn't have the luxury.
Now you're in like the Mickey Mouse Club. You know what I mean? Like Leo, amazing actor, legend,
was in Tremors.
Technically, child star.
Not Tremors. He was in
Gilbert Grape.
Yeah, Gilbert Grape. But then there was that one movie with the
Basketball Diaries,
and with that one with De Niro. Even before
Gremlins.
That,
a Boy's he was Life. In like Gremlins, he was in Gremlins 4 when he was like 8 years old. Right. And it was the shittiest movie ever.
But he was like, he's been
he's
in.
He's a product of the system.
He's a product of Hollywood, but he's incredible, and I think he's amazing, and I think he holds it down in terms of like being a grizzled guy sometimes. But yeah, no, like if you're comparing, you know, fucking, you know, old school, like fucking, you know, James Cagney to, you know, these guys like
Leo can
went
pull it off.
Life, like they lived.
Leo can pull it off.
They weren't in the Mickey Mouse. They weren't in the fucking Mickey Mouse Club.
Leo can pull it off because he is just very talented.
He's just an incredible actor. Right.
But there is still something
and
missing.
And that's a dying breed in and of itself. Even someone who's not a tough guy who can just pull it off.
Well, that's where Leo's best roles are the ones where he plays somebody like in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, where he's an actor.
Right.
And you still love him and you still get that, like, you know, he's been through the ringer and he's cool and like you like him, but he's not a you love him in that role because he's not playing a tough guy.
He plays a great party animal.
He's kind of a fucking
Jordan Belfort.
He's a pussy in that. He cries.
Not a great movie, but Gatsby.
I never saw Gatsby. I just I hate
I guess his
I tough, he still I played the I'm sure I he still played the role well. Right, I don't like the movie.
His toughest role, I guess, was The Revenant. And he did pretty good at it.
He's great in that, but it's also like he doesn't even speak.
He doesn't speak in it. No, he yeah, exactly.
It's just
they had to shut him up. Exactly. He had to make faces in it.
Right.
Yeah. And you know who seemed grizzled and cool in that was Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy was cool in that movie, yeah.
So it's just like we're running out. I don't know.
Tom Hardy's the guy, I would say, is like the last grizzled Hollywood star. He's the last tough guy left.
Mad Max.
John Bernthal. He's really great.
But that same age, though.
Same age, though. Yeah, he's
no one younger.
Not too young.
Yeah.
I love Bernthal.
Bernthal's amazing. Bernthal's great.
The Punisher was one of my favorite things.
I bet maybe I bet Adam Driver could pull off being kind of a tough guy.
Yeah, he's going to, they're going to be
in
more.
He wasn't in the army.
Trailer?
He was in the military.
Did you see the trailer for the Gucci?
No.
There's like a movie being made.
With Adam Driver?
About the Gucci family, Adam Driver's in it.
That's cool.
All these people. Looks like a big epic movie. It looks like a real movie. Like cool. They don't make real movies anymore.
No, they
like
don't,
one
yeah.
of them,
so. By the way, Gucci?
Yeah.
You know who's a Gucci model? Who claimed who he's a Gucci model to
McGregor?
Me?
McGregor?
No.
Caesar?
Bogdan.
Bogdan?
Bogdan.
Gucci model?
Oh, that's right. You did tell us
while
that,
I was interviewing Bogdan, he's giving me his credits, and he's like, I was in this. He goes, I'm a Gucci model. I'm a senior Gucci model.
Yeah. What? You're a foot model.
Yeah.
Gucci model. Bog-
I don't want to go
Bogdan?
Back to it. Bogdan did say that, but my God. I mean, yeah, but the whole point with these actors, I don't know what's happening. I guess it's just a generation of pussies.
Also, people just don't care. But I mean, celebrities are not real.
I'm a pussy,
people
too, by the way. I'm not trying to act like I'm a pussy, too. But I'm just saying there used to be these great entertainers that would be on in movies and stuff.
Yeah.
Who came from these tough backgrounds. And now if you go to the military and you're a special forces guy or if you did something cool in the military, you get out and none of them are trying to be actors.
No.
That they're like, all right, I'll sell coffee and go on Joe Rogan's podcast.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's the coolest thing they do.
Like, if you're a tough guy now, you just have like a coffee company.
Yeah, you start a coffee company.
If you're a big tough guy, you have a coffee company called like fucking Bulletproof.
Black Rifle. Yeah.
Black Rifle.
No, you see that commercial?
And God bless them, but I don't want to trash veterans.
School shooter coffee. Fucking yeah. Bicep coffee.
AR-15 matcha.
I support the military. Go on, Richard.
No, I was just going to say, like, the last time I saw a military guy in a commercial, he was promoting that jaw thing that you bite on. He's like, I was in the military, and you bite on this thing, and you get a good jawline.
Oh, I've seen that.
That's what I do. You go, nah, 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 I got it. I got a jaw.
Yeah, yeah. You just bite. That's what they do. Like, you want a big manly jaw like me?
Yeah.
A big, tough military guy? You bite on this thing, it'll build your jaw.
Yeah. Now, like, former Marines are, like, they're selling, like they like, work for companies where it's like, we fucking shave your pubes. You tired of your hairy ball sack? Well, here at Manscaped, run by 7 Marines, we're making sure your balls glisten.
From the military landscape to the manscape.
Smooth balls straight to you from from veterans of Afghanistan.
They go, make your mind tough, not your balls.
Not your balls.
How much time we done, Reggie?
Yeah, well, we can wrap it up.
All right.
Well, this has been a good recap.
Would you like to make any confessions about anything you left out about Connor? He didn't touch you or anything?
Well,
he didn't grab you or...
We did fuck.
That's breaking.
Hey, well, I guess that's breaking news. I don't think it's that new. I mean, we all know Conor McGregor's infamous gay man.
Let's end it on that. Conor McGregor's gay
Conor
man.
Conor McGregor is gay, and well, he had sex with me and Tim.
Well, one thing I will throw...
And then he looked at Ida, and he goes, gross! He looked at Ida, and he goes, ooh, ew!
He adopted an American.
Tim and I were both naked on the bed after he had just cracked us open, and Ida's in the corner, like trying to, like, you know, she had her bikini on, trying to seduce him, and he kept pushing, he kept shoving her face away, like
he goes, "You're killing my boner. Get out of here!
Yes, I don't want you. I just want this otter and this bear."
An otter and a bear.
He goes, "Sorry. But I came here to hunt an otter and a bear." not looking for.
He goes, "Been there, done that. I'm here for the otter and the bear."
He goes, "I hate women. They're always accusing me of rape. That's why I fuck otters and bears now.
They won't spell a word."
Yeah, I guess we could wrap it up.
One thing I want to throw out to the people who listen, if someone is internet savvy and can figure out how to get the contact information to Maxwell Berry.
Yes,
Maxwell Berry.
Anyone out there, we are looking for Maxwell Berry, the man that was kicked off the front. He was duct taped
Frontier
to his chair of a Frontier flight because apparently he got a little handsy.
He got a little handsy.
He may or may not have grabbed the tits of all the flight attendants.
Online, they're saying that Max Berry touched the flight attendants.
Max Cherry.
Fake news.
Max Cherry, Max Berry.
That's from Jackie Brown, the bookie. Yeah,
no, but so we're trying to get him on the show. We just don't know how to get into contact with him because he's wiped from the internet. But I would love the guy that was yelling on the Frontier flight, "My parents are worth $2 million. Fuck
Max
you all.
Max Berry, I'm with
I'll
you.
I'll fucking touch
yeah,
your tits.
I, Max, I really want to talk to the guy.
You can touch we all feel of you our tits.
We're drunk.
You were touching Otter's tits.
You were wrongfully, you were cornered.
You sucked Evan's tits.
You sucked Evan's and Otter's tits.
You want to suck an Otter's tits right here. Okay, this otter will.
No, listen, Max Berry, I've been kicked off more flights than you. You're in the trust tree, brother.
Talk, you're in the trust tree, my friend.
So I'll talk to you all you want.
We would love to speak to you.
I've had flight attendants lie about me, say that I was drunk.
Oh, I've had plenty.
I've had flight attendants say that I was drunk.
They're a bunch of liars, Max.
I've had pilots, they'll go, "Oh, you rushed the cockpit. Oh, you can't do that. You had a box cutter on you. You can't do that." I go, "Well, what are we talking about? Are my freedoms are being infringed upon right now? Did you not hear about 9/11? I can have a box cutter and I can rush the cockpit on a flight, okay?
Yep.
This isn't a big deal."
Yep. After 9/11, you can have box cutters.
I understand that you were ostracized on that flight and everyone's laughing at you, and we disagree with their behavior.
We're not laughing at all.
We're not laughing at you. We're not laughing at you, and we're on your side. We want you on
the
show, Max.
Fake news media saying you grabbed their tits. Yeah. Don't buy it.
That
don't
fake
buy it. Libtard news
is
saying a rich guy like you is not grabbing anyone's tits. I don't buy that
you
one.
Have plenty
second.
Of tits to
and,
touch.
And if you
his parents have 2 mil. No way he's grabbing
tits. You're like one of the most rich people on earth.
Listen, hey,
your parents have $2 million. You're one of the most richest people on earth.
Yeah, Jeff Bezos isn't grabbing your tits.
I understand you had a case of affluenza. I'm willing to hear it out.
Affluenza,
it's not a big deal.
Exactly. It was just a little bit of affluenza that happened on that Frontier flight. Yeah, we want you on the show. So if anyone knows Matthew Berry, tell him the Hey Watch
Maxwell,
podcast. Maxwell Berry?
Yeah,
what's his name?
Maxwell Berry. Max Berry.
Max Berry.
Yeah.
Max Berry.
All right. Anyway, folks,
tell your friends about the show.
Go on Apple. It really bothers me. We only have 75 reviews. There's more than 75 people listening to this. There's upwards of almost 1,000 listening to this. please just go on iTunes and just say 5 stars and just write some nonsense. Yeah, just say good
love
job.
The pod.
Say great. Cool. This is good. Whatever.
Devin's an otter. Big fat otter.
We love otters. Yeah. We love
I'll suck
piss
Devin's,
pants.
I'll
you
suck
know?
Devin's otter
and
tits.
I am soon also get it in
five
while you,
stars. There's an otter host.
Yeah. Also, folks, get it in while you can. The first 50 episodes of the old show, the Hate That You Love It podcast, the old show, those you have about maybe 2 or 3 more weeks until they're behind my Patreon. I'm going to put those behind the Patreon. And so, you know, get them while you can. And if you want them, it's just $5. It'll be on the Patreon. 50 episodes of the old, the wild show. Okay. Cause I'm starting to get some things in life. I'm starting to have, you know, a couple gigs thrown my way. And I just, there's a lot on there that need to go behind a paywall. And, but those are great episodes. So check them out while you can. There's some classic episodes. Piss Pants Extravaganza, Silver Lake Townie,
Joey in Mexico.
Joey in Mexico. Senor Joey. Yeah. These
great
are some
episode.
Classic
I
episodes.
I worked for Lev Parnas.
That if, oh, the Lev Parnas episode. If you've been listening to the show since the beginning, you understand what we're talking about. And people that are new, go check those episodes out because they're wild. We had no hope whatsoever in life.
Let me just jump in.
We were getting hammered and going
nuts. You're sounding extremely desperate right now. here's the way to pitch this. Listen, guys. We're now taking the podcast seriously.
Yes.
We're hiring Russian actors. We're paying money for studios.
Doing it twice a week.
We're spending a lot of money on this shit, quite frankly.
Yeah, we
Devin's
are.
Spending thousands on a new studio yeah. because Gerardo just quit the old podcast.
So we need
producer.
The Patreon, please help us out.
No,
you know?
it's do it or don't do it. We don't care, but listen, a lot of money's going into this thing now. The production value is going way up. We're about to be doing a serious show. If you'd like the show, if you want to
so
keep
please,
seeing it,
just,
pay a little attention.
Join the Patreon because I need Connor now has me working on the corner. I'm his little otter, and he has me turning tricks on.
Because we don't have otters in Ireland.
He goes, I'm taking you back to Dublin. You're gonna be turning tricks. You're gonna be turning tricks like crazy. I love this. Look at your otter ass. I love that fucking ass.
Okay.
All right, folks. Have a good night. Thank you.
Later.